We're going to start a series of messages on the subject of prayer. I'll be speaking by His grace on getting more out of your prayers. Getting more out of your prayers. And for our text this morning, we're going to read John 16. John 16, verse 23 to 24. Jesus had this discourse with His disciples, and the following thing transpired. "And in that day you shall ask me nothing." This is Jesus speaking. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name," he's talking about prayer, "whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will do what? He will give it to you." That is answers. 24. "Hitherto have you asked nothing?" That is to say, before now, you've asked nothing in my name. Why? Because he had not consummated the new covenant. And he was telling us, when he made reference to in verse 23, in that day, he's talking about the day that the new covenant will have been consummated. What does that mean? The day will have gone to the cross, paid the ultimate sacrifice. That's what he meant by that day. Amen? And I can tell you that that day has come. I said that day has come. We are living in that day. So this scripture is what? Relevant to us. Amen. "Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name." Don't say my name. "Ask and you shall receive." Why? "So that your joy may be full." Put your hands on your chest and say after me. Say, "Holy Spirit, speak unto me this morning. I receive your word. Thank you for visiting me. I will never be the same. In Jesus' name we pray." If you believe that, say it better. Amen. Getting more out of your prayer. Getting more. Let me begin by asking this question. What are you getting out of your prayer? How successful are you with regards to your prayer or your prayer life? I can tell you that the results or our outcome with regards to our prayer life is not the same. It is very clear that God wants us to be very successful in our prayers. Prayer is not supposed to be a chore. Prayer is supposed to be a delight. Prayer is not supposed to be boring. Prayer is not supposed to be a burden. Prayer is supposed to be a blessing. Amen? Listen to me, God's people. God wants us to be productive. Prayer time, your prayer time, my prayer time, ought to be a productive time. It's not supposed to be something people shy away from. Your prayer life ought to be meaningful, impactful. That's why a lot of people pray, but not everybody is getting more. What do I mean by getting more? I simply mean being more successful, being more productive, your prayers having a greater impact. Now, what's the bottom line? What's the bottom line for a successful prayer life? It is that you have answers. Amen? I said amen. God does not want us to labor in vain. Isaiah 45 verse 19. God says, "I did not ask you to seek me in vain. I, the Lord, I speak righteousness and I declare the things that are true." So God does not want us to labor in vain. You know, the day I got to understand that for me, as a child of God, God is interested in my prayer life, that changed my approach to praying. Now, you might not have thought about what I'm saying now, but listen to me, God's people. The reality of the matter is that your prayer matters to God. See, after me say, "My prayer matters to God." Or ask your neighbor, say, "Do you know that your prayers matters to God?" You know, at times somebody say, "Well, I'm not like the people in the intercessory thing, so who am I? Well, I mean, my prayer does not count." Your prayer matters a lot to God. I'm going to prove that to you in a minute. Proverbs 15 verse 8, in the B part, it says, "God takes delight in the prayer of the righteous." Now, what does that mean? That simply means that your prayer matters to God. Proverbs 15 again, verse 29, it says the Lord is far away from the wicked, but he hears what? The prayer of the righteous. Psalm 34, verse 15, 1 Peter 3, verse 12 says the same thing. It says the Lord, the eyes of the Lord is what? Upon the righteous, and his ears, whose ears? God's ears is what? Open to what? Their cry. I love the way it says it in 1 Peter 3 verse 3. It says, his ears are open to whose prayers? Come on, talk to me. His prayers are open to whose prayers? My prayers. Look at that. Look at it. God's ears are open to whose prayers? So that simply means that when you pray, God is what? Listening. So tap your number and say, God is interested in your prayer. Self them and say, my prayer matters. Ladies and gentlemen, God wants us to get more out of our prayer life. And there is more. I want to declare to you this morning, whatever level you may be in your prayer life, I want to declare to you this morning that you are moving to another level in Jesus' name. I said, your levels are changing in the mighty name of Jesus. In Matthew 6, Jesus spoke on several things, but I'm going to dwell on when he was speaking about prayer. From verse 5, you will see that it began to tell us how to pray and how not to pray. Why did he give us that exposition? He gave us that exposition so that we need to know that he wants us to get more. He said, don't pray like the hypocrites. Pray. Don't pray like the heathen. People don't know God. Pray. He said, this is how. He now gave us a format. Pray like this. Why? He simply wants you to get more out of your prayer. So tap your neighbor and tap your neighbor and say, I declare over you this morning that your story is changing with regards to your prayer life. Say you are entering into a new season in your prayer life. You begin to get more and more out of your prayer life. Say to your neighbor that God is interested in your prayers. Listen, if God is interested in your prayer, that means your prayer matters. In fact, the Bible says the effectual fervent prayer, James 5:16, the effectual fervent prayer of who? A righteous man avails much. The Amplified Version says the earnest, supplication of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in his working. So say after me, my prayer has effects. So how can I get more out of my prayer life? How can my prayer time be more productive? How can my prayer time be more result-oriented? How? That's the basis of this message. We're going to be looking at, by God's grace, at least 10 major principles that can help you to pray better or pray with more results. And when we say principle, what do we mean? A principle is an established law that works anytime it's applied. A principle is what? An established law that works anytime you what? You apply. So these principles will always work when you meet the conditions. They are natural principles. Law of gravity. If you jump up, you will definitely do what? Come down. Yes or no? Amen, somebody? That's what we call law of lift or law of aerodynamics. That is the basis upon which aeroplane flies. You wonder why, how can something just take off like that and go in the air? It's because they are fulfilling a law. Amen? And there are also supernatural or spiritual laws. The law of giving and receiving. The Bible says in Genesis 8 verse 32, while the heart remaineth, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, wind and summer shall not what? Cease. If you meet, if you sow in faith and sow in righteousness, your harvest is guaranteed. That's what the Bible says. It's an established law. Listen, if you don't sow, you don't get. It's as simple as that. Amen, somebody? Hosea 10 verse 12, sow to yourself how? in righteousness, reap what? In mercy. So, listen, reaping harvest is guaranteed once you are what? A sower. If you believe what I'm saying, say amen. Amen. So, what are those principles that can help me to get more out of my prayer life? The first one I want to make mention this morning, if you want to get more out of your prayer life, is the principle of you creating the time to pray. You need to create time to pray. You can never be successful in your prayer life if you don't create. Notice what I said. I said create. Don't say create. You have to find the time. People always say this. I'm so busy. I'm so busy. That's why I don't have a powerful prayer life. That's why I'm not getting results in my prayer. Listen. There's nobody here who was as busy as Jesus was. If you ever study the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you discover that Jesus was a very, very busy man. He was very busy. In case you are in doubt, go and read Matthew 4:23, Matthew 9, verse 35, Luke chapter 11, verse 23. You will see in those scriptures that he went through all cities, plural, and what? Villages. Amen? Preaching the gospel of the kingdom, teaching in their synagogue, healing all manner of sickness. And listen, the pressure was much on him. People were coming to Jesus left, right, center, north, south, west, and east. With all of his busy schedule. Someone say busy schedule. In Mark chapter 1, verse 35, the Bible says he rose up. Who rose up? Jesus. He rose up a great while. That means early in the morning. Someone say early in the morning. He rose up a great while before the day. He went out and went to where? A solitary place, a quiet place. And what did he go? What did he go to do there? To pray. I always say this to people. People always say that they don't have time to pray. I tell them, you always find time for what you value. You will always have time for what you love. For instance, many of us are football lovers. That's why people leave their house. They leave the comfort of their house when NEPA strikes. Amen? To go and watch football somewhere. You are a football what? Fanner. Come on, help me complete it now. Why are you looking at me in a strange way? Amen, somebody. Because you love football. Amen, somebody. You are not just, you don't just have, some people just have interest in football. If there's no light, they will sit down in their house. But some people, they won't sit down. Amen, somebody. That's how passionate they are. And listen, there's nothing wrong with that. What we are trying to say is that the same way, convert the same energy. Amen, somebody. I said amen, somebody. Tap your number and say, you will always have time for the things you value. So if anybody is ever complaining, I don't have time to pray. I don't have time to pray. I'm so busy. I have to go to work. At this is time. Listen, listen. You don't value prayer. That's just a simple bottom line. Amen, somebody? And I want to pray for you this morning that God will change your orientation. I once read the story about a woman known as Susanna Wesley. Susanna Wesley had 19 children. Ask your neighbor, if your neighbor is married, say, ask him, well, how many children do you have? At least by virtue of word from knowledge. I don't think anybody in this church has 19 children, to the best of my understanding. Amen, somebody. At least I know that. Amen, somebody. Now, you know, having one child can be a lot of issue. Not talk about what? 19. So I say 19. This woman was the mother of Charles and what? John Wesley. John Wesley is the founder of Methodist Church. Charles Wesley wrote a lot of very powerful hymns. Amen. As busy as she was, whenever they saw their mom with her apron covering her face, nobody should come and interfere. She's praying. Hello, somebody? She still found at least 1 hour every day to pray. Now, look at your neighbor and tap your neighbor. Say, I believe your bukata is not as much as that. Apologies for speaking Yoruba. Amen, somebody. Bukata is what now? Thank you, ma. Amen. Responsibilities. Well, you have 19 children and you still have the time to pray. It's because she valued prayer. We need to put value. There's a place in Luke 5 verse 16. The Bible said Jesus withdrew himself. Withdrew himself from the multitude. He departed where? He departed into the wilderness. To go and do what? That's how important it was. Notice that expression. He withdrew himself. That means he was deliberate about it. So, no, I'm so held up. Listen. The power is in your hands. Look at it. I'm tapping it. It's time to create time. For what? For prayer. You can never be successful in your prayer life if you don't create the time to pray. Now, I'm going to give you two quick tips. How do you create time for prayer? Number one, you find the time. Who will find the time? You. David said something. I think it's in Psalm 4. Psalm 4 verse 1. It says, let my word come unto you and my meditation. It now said in verse 3, Psalm 4 verse 3. It said, my voice you will hear in the morning, O Lord. And in the morning I will direct my prayers unto you. Amen. Listen, it has been discovered that the best time to pray is early in the morning. That does not mean you can't pray at other times. Amen. But make up your mind. Spend the first part of your day with God. Look at your neighbor and say, find the time. Find the time. Find the time. Find the time. God has given you 24 hours. Listen, God has given you the power of choice. You can create the time if you decide. And I pray for you this morning that you find the will and the impetus to do so in the name of Jesus. Acts 3 verse 1, the Bible says Peter and John went into the temple at the hour of prayer. That means there was a time they prayed. Any serious minded child of God should have a time they pray. You should have the time you pray. That's crucial to creating the time. Second thing that can help you to find the time is that you are the one also that should find the place. Say, find the place. I can hear you say, find the place. Listen, it's not just important to create the time, the place. Say, the place. Come on, say, the place matters. Come on, talk to me. Say, the place matters. Jesus departed where? Into the wilderness. Why? He wanted to be alone with God. Jesus rose up a great while before the day. He went into a solitary place, a quiet place, a secure. See, that is how important. If you're going to get more out of your prayer, I remember a friend of mine, he was sharing this, is it testimony or experience? I can't even remember. He went to spend time with his uncle in Lagos after his work, and his uncle was living in a one-room self-contained. Amen, somebody. One-room self-contained with four children. If you had the wife, had the man, that's how many people? Six. And he came to join the dad, seven. So he said in the morning, of course, definitely cannot sleep in the room. He was sleeping in the parlor. And when he wanted to have his quiet time, I mean, a lot of things were just happening. People were just coming, want to bring something out, blah, blah, blah. I mean, there was just interference all over the place. He ran away again. He went to the toilet. After he was staying too long, people started knocking. You know, the houses are, people are queuing up for the toilets. Hello, somebody. He had to terminate his trip to Lagos quickly. Amen. So, because there was no place. Hello? Tap your number, say you need to find a place. Place matters. I want to show you something. I think I have the time. I really want to share about two principles here in the first service. Go to Matthew 6. I want to show you something very, very quickly. Matthew 6, when Jesus was talking about prayer, Matthew 6, verse 6, but you, when you pray, enter into your closet. Someone say closet. Shout to say closet. And when you have shut your door, pray to your Father, which is in what? Secret. And your Father, which seeth in secret, shall do what? I was checking up on the meaning of this word closet. in the Greek, because the Greek is the language of the New Testament. That's the language it was written. And I discovered that that word closet, listen to this, it means a dispensary or a magazine. It means a chamber on the ground floor or interior of an oriental house. Chambers, that's a chamber. On the ground floor or interior of an oriental house, generally used for storage or privacy or a spot. Some say spots. For what? Retirement. At times you see people say, all these joints all over the place, they ruin people's life. Amen, somebody. They call it what? A joint or a spot, cooling spots. You are cooling off and your life is also being ruined in the process. Amen, somebody. Look at your neighbor and tap him and say, this is a real cooling point. Find a place. Let it be a what? A spot for retirement. Let it be a secret chamber where you get into meeting with God. That's how important. It's not something. Listen, somebody was saying this I remember when I was in Abuja, I had an opportunity to pastor the church there in the ministry I was serving then. I have one of the guys who were details to the presidency. They were those guys you see wearing suits and, you know, looking very stern looking faces. He was telling us, he said, if you have an appointment with the president, he said you must be there at such a time. And you see, once the president comes in, you can't even be answering your phone or whatever. I mean, it's strictly about, okay, why are you here, blah, blah, blah. No interference, full focus, amen, somebody. No distraction. That's a human being that can fall down and die. Hello, somebody. But you see the way people treat praying with God. So people are praying, they're praying to God, they are chewing, chewing gum, amen, somebody. Somebody said they're praying, they're watching television. Listen, come on, tap your neighbor, say, respect Jehovah. Listen, you must find a place. Stop there, find a place. Listen to this. If you want to be successful in your prayer life, the first principle is to create the time. If you heard what I said, say, I hear. So tap your neighbor, say, it's time to find the time. Ask your neighbor, say, when are you going to do that? Tap your, say, let it begin today. Find what? The time to pray. Find the time. Once you have created the time, you have created the place. Listen, grace is available to sustain you and carry you through in the name of Jesus. Number two. Second principle that will help you to get more out of your prayer life is to develop your prayer life. Now, first one is find the time to pray. As you start praying, you must endeavor to grow your prayer life. The word develop means to improve. The word develop means to work on. Listen to this. There is no how you can get more out of your prayer life if you don't work on your prayer life. You know, people at times see a successful marriage and people are say, oh, I want my marriage to be like that. Or you see a successful business. So I want my... Listen, those things did not develop overnight. There were a lot of what? Things that went behind the scenes. Amen? I said amen. Amen. Are you ready to work on your marriage? Work on your business? If you work on your marriage, if you work on your business, the effort will soon begin to show. The same way, if you work on your prayer life, it will become stronger and stronger in Jesus' name. I was reading some articles years ago about Michael Jackson, and we were talking about his schedule, how, you know, the details he gave to practicing the dancing steps, the rehearsals, very intense. Amen, somebody? Wait, see somebody spending like 8 hours on dancing. Amen, somebody? I said, amen, somebody. Look at your neighbor and tap your neighbor and say, that's somebody who is developing his street. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to grow your prayer life, if you want to be successful, rather, in your prayer life, you need to grow your prayer life. Your prayer life is something that should be getting better and better from one level of glory to another level of glory in Jesus' mighty name. If you believe that, say a better amen. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, it's time to take your prayer to the next level. Now, how can I develop my prayer life? Because, listen, what you don't do often, there's no how you can become a specialist or an authority in that area. Amen? So, I want to share with you some tidbits on how to develop your prayer life. If you're ready, say amen. Amen. How can you develop your prayer life? Number one, make sure you pray consistently. You pray how? Consistently. Don't say consistently. There is no how you can get more out of your prayer if you pray once in a while. That's what I call fire brigade prayers. Amen, somebody. That's what we call emergency prayers. Thankfully, God comes to our aid. Amen, somebody. But that's not how to live. The way to live is to pray consistently. Tap say, pray consistently. Many of us know 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 17. What does he say? Pray without what? Season. Pray without what? Season. That means what? Pray what? Regularly. Not frequently. If you have created the time to pray and you have found a place to spend for your prayers, make sure you work at it. Keep showing up every day. Keep practicing. Stop saying practice makes perfect. You cannot become an authority. You cannot become a specialist. Listen, no matter how much you love to drive. Hello, somebody in the house. Say love to drive. Let me paint this picture. One day you are in an aeroplane and you hear the voice from the cockpit. The pilot was saying, well, he said, today we have a very young chap who is going to, you know, fly us on this trip. This guy really loves flying. He's never been to flying school, but he loves to fly. And, you know, he's excited about flying. Just, you know, strap your seat belts, get ready for a beautiful flight of your life. I am very sure that everybody will start getting off the plane. Why? You don't need somebody's love for flying to stay inside the plane. You need what? Experience. You need expertise. You won't sit down there and say, oh, Lord, flying. Oh, Lord, flying. That's not the issue. Can he fly the aeroplane? That's the issue. But that comes by what? Practice. Say practice. Tap your neighbor, say practice makes perfect. Tap your neighbor, say you become like you practice. You see, that's why people don't know at times. So say, why do we pray all the time? Why should we pray all the time? Listen, because the more you pray, the better you become. The more you pray, the better you become. Those of us who are here, who are teachers, lecturers, and whatever, you know, the more you teach a subject, the better you become. Yes or no? Yes. I mean, those of us who are the choir, the more you sing, the better you become. Musicians, the more you play your equipment, the better you become. Otherwise, you become rusty. You see what I'm talking about? So, tap your neighbor and say, I hope you don't become rusty in your prayer life. Some people have rusty prayer lives. Rusty. Yeah, the last time you showed up at the throne of grace was 3 months ago. Look at your neighbor and say, be frequent. Show up there. Let them know your voice. Let them get familiar with you. Some of us are angels, that's what I do. They have nothing to do for so long a time because you have refused to put them to work. Look at your neighbor and tap and say, show up every day. How do you develop your prayer life? Number two, because of time, you develop your prayer life by acting on the revelation you have received about prayer or praying. When you hear a message, when you receive a teaching on prayer or you catch a revelation on prayer, put it to text. That is how to grow your prayer life. Jesus said in John 13:17, it says, if you know these things, happy are you. Under one condition, happy are you if you do them. Tapping number said, the blessing is in doing, not in knowing. We know many things, but how many of the things that you know are you doing? Let me give you a very good one. Well, I know we need to pray. We need to pray, but are you praying? Hello, somebody? I say, hello. Tap it and say, it's time to be a doer. It's time to be a doer. You see, when you do what you hear, it sticks. When you do what you hear, it remains with you. So make sure, don't just, listen, thank God for your sermon notes. Amen, somebody. Thank God you are writing something down. But tap it and say, go and work on it. That's very important. Then number three, because of time, how can you develop your prayer life? This one is very important. Learn to pray with others. Listen, Proverbs 27 verse 17 says, it says, iron sharpeneth what? Iron does not sharpen wood, or wood cannot sharpen iron. Can it? Come on, talk to me. Can it? No. It only takes iron to do what? It says, so does what? The countenance of what? So does a man sharpen what? Now, it's talking about association. You become like those people you associate with. You become like those people you work with. Listen, one of the advantages of praying with people or praying with others is that it fortifies you. It's like you are sharpening one another. Amen, somebody? That's why it's important to come to a prayer meeting. That's why somebody was asking me, why do you have to show up every day, proclaim fast, every evening to pray? Listen, this is part of the benefits. Amen? It's part of the benefit. It sharpens you. Amen, somebody? The Bible says two is better than one because they have what? A good reward for their labor. You see over and over in the New Testament, the Bible was talking about Peter and John, Acts 3 verse 1. They went into the temple at the hour of prayer, and the hour of prayer to pray. Acts 1:14, the Bible said, these all, 120 disciples, these all continued with one accord in prayers and supplication with the women also, and even the brothers of Jesus. So it's important to unite, say unite, with others in the place of prayer. Then finally, because of time, how can I develop my prayer? You develop your prayer life by praying with fasting. You see, one of the advantages of fasting and prayer is that it helps to fortify your prayer life. Acts 13 verse 2, the Bible says, as they ministered unto the Lord and fasted. What fasting does is that it amplifies your prayer life. And you see, when you join forces with other people to mingle your voices in the place of prayer, it emboldens and strengthens your prayer life. I remember years ago, I had to team up with the intercessors because, when I was growing up as a believer, I teamed up with the intercessors of the church I was attending then because I wanted to develop my prayer life. I saw the way they pray. I felt that I needed that kind of fire. Listen, it's very easy to catch fire. Look for people who are already on fire. Draw close to them. You will catch the spirit of prayer. I believe that in this house this morning, the spirit of prayer is here. I believe that in this house this morning, a fresh fire is here. I believe that in this house this morning, a new virtue is here. To jumpstart our prayer lives, to begin to give us greater results in the place of our prayer lives, in the mighty name of Jesus. I want to rise up on your faith this morning. I want to pray one single prayer. Lift up your hands, say, after me, say, Holy Spirit. Come on, say it like you say, Holy Spirit, visit my prayer life today in the name of Jesus. Lift up your voice and begin to pray.